Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. And I wanted to follow up today with some things we were talking about last week. If you remember last week, I had a special guest, Ian Juby, with me on the radio. And we were talking about the UFO phenomena and the Bible. And so I encourage you to go to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find that there. And also you can find some links to his video that he's putting together. He's putting together a video series, a four-part series on UFOs and the Bible. The third, I believe, in that series was released today. I haven't had a chance to see it yet. Looking forward to seeing it later on today. But I'm going to be following up with something. We had a discussion about this at our Friday night Bible study this past week after the radio program. And we have a Bible study at our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, every Friday night from 7 o'clock till 9. It's an informal Bible study where people bring topics. And we were talking about the UFO phenomena and what the Bible had to say. And we got onto the subject of, as vast as the universe is, with billions and billions of galaxies, they used to estimate that the size of the universe was about 2 trillion or more galaxies, but then they recently revised that down to only about 200 billion galaxies, by a factor of 10, I guess. And those, each of those galaxies may contain, hundreds of billions of stars in each of those galaxies. And so the question comes up, with all these trillions and trillions of stars, there's bound to be trillions of planets out there. And certainly, if nothing else, hundreds of billions of planets, potentially, that have the ability to support life. And so how can we say, and isn't it selfish to say that the Earth is the only place where there's intelligent life? Maybe God created life somewhere in another place. Maybe, if not in our galaxy, in other galaxies, perhaps God created life somewhere, and they're working through their own salvation story, just like we work through ours with Christ here on Earth. And so that people speculate on that. So the question naturally came up, what does the Bible have to say about this, and could it be true? So we're going to take a look at that here this afternoon. I wanted to follow up on that with the program last week with this look about what the Bible has to say about whether there can be life, intelligent life, life that perhaps is working through their own salvation story with another Christ on another world somewhere in a galaxy far, far away. So let's open our program with a word of prayer, and I want to jump into this here today. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity that we have to look at these things. Thank you for your word. Guide us and direct us. Help us to see what your word has to say about this. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, first thing I want to touch on with this is, when we look at the Word of God in Genesis chapter 1, and of course the Bible starts in Genesis 1:1, with, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, this is all that there was. God eternally existed. He's always existed. He is not a captive or a function of the universe. The universe exists within God, and God is the eternal existent God. And for his reasons and in his decision making, he made the decision to create the heaven and the earth. And now, the earth obviously is material. I believe the heaven that's created here was the spiritual realm. So we have the physical realm, earth, and the heaven, the spiritual realm. And this is the area where God placed the angels. And those were the first beings that were created that had a knowledge of God. I believe they were probably created on this first day. And they were placed, like I said, within this spiritual realm. And so these are a type of being, a life that God created to have fellowship with him. The only other being that he created, the Bible tells us that he created to have fellowship with him, are human beings that are populating the physical realm. And we see, of course, the discussion of the physical realm and what God does with it over the several days there until we see that he creates man on day number six. So we have then two types of beings presented to us in the scriptures that have a relationship with God. Now, obviously, the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork there in Psalm 19. But that's to get our attention to show us who God is. And so when we consider the fact that these two are the only types of beings that we have, that kind of lets out some kind of alien beings existing somewhere else in another part of the universe, that are created and that God has a relationship with them. But there's other things, too, to consider this and practical things. When we look at the creation of the earth, that's on day one. Now, as of day one in the creation week, the Bible tells us that the only thing in the physical realm is the earth. There is no sun, there is no moon, there are no stars. If there's no sun, moon, or stars, there's no solar system, there's no Milky Way galaxy, there's no Andromeda galaxy or any other galaxy. So this idea of perhaps 200 billion galaxies and the trillions of stars and trillions of planets that could potentially have life on them, or at least hundreds of billions of planets that could have life on them in the known universe, none of that existed on day one. On day two, when God said, "Let there be light," that's day one. On day two, when he put the firmament in the midst of the waters and he created the atmosphere and all of that. And then on day three, when he gathered together the dry land, and then on day four, when he brought plant life on the earth, on all this taking place, there is, as of yet, nothing else in the physical realm except for the earth. There's no star in the sky. There's no sun in the sky. There's no moon in the sky. There's no galaxies. There's no solar system. The solar system, the galaxies, all of that did not occur or did not come into being until day four. You say, well, wait a minute. The Big Bang theory tells us that, well, wait a minute, it's a theory. It's unproven. It's unknown. It's pure speculation. The Big Bang Theory says that in the beginning there was nothing except for the singularity, which was nothing. It was really quantum forces that, because I actually heard a physicist, and I actually got his book and read it, who basically argued that if you don't understand that quantum forces are really nothing, because they amount to something, but because they're something that cancels each other out, then they're really nothing. So if you don't understand that something is really nothing, then, well, it's because you're not smart enough. Okay. That's what I actually heard him say that to somebody on the radio. Well, you're not smart enough. He said, do you have a degree in physics, an advanced degree? That's why you don't understand that something is really nothing. But I digress. So the Big Bang occurred, according to secular theory. And out of that, all matter and stars and everything came into being. And over billions of years, hot gases coalesced into stars and planets and everything else. And over billions and billions of years, eventually the earth formed and life formed, and here we are. Well, no, this is day four. These are, I believe, literal 24-hour days. Yes, I'm a young earth creationist. I'm not going to go into that right now. So on day four, God said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. This is space, outer space. We have the first heaven, which is the atmosphere, the second heaven, which is outer space, third heaven, which Paul referred to being caught up into as that's the spiritual realm. He said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 16 says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day. Well, that's obviously the sun, and the lesser light to rule the night, and that's the moon. Then it says he made the stars also. So any other planet that might conceivably have life on it did not come in existence until day four. The Earth has already existed. The Earth was created before anything else happened. See, this rules out the idea that alien life seeded life on the Earth, because life on the Earth came into being when God created the plant life on the Earth on day three. And then, of course, on day five, he created the fish and the birds and things of that nature. And then it was on day six, the land animals, and then finally man. So Earth existed before any other planets in the entire universe existed, according to the Bible. So that's one indication that God's plan centers on the Earth and not on some other planet somewhere else. Now, you say, but maybe later on he created life on another planet and gave them some laws and things like that, which they may or may not have broke. Well, that brings us to another passage. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and in Revelation chapter 21, we read an interesting occurrence that's going to take place in the future. And let me get to it in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1 first. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, a new heaven and a new earth is what John says he saw. He says the first heaven and the first earth are passed away. Now, that's just one sentence here, or one verse here in Revelation chapter 21. But if we go over to 2 Peter chapter 3, the Bible says this starting in verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And then in verse 13 he says, nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, Peter talks about new heavens and earth, and John wrote about a new heaven and a new earth. I believe that John was writing about the new heaven, meaning the new spiritual realm, and the new earth being the new physical realm. And I believe Peter echoes that when he says the new heavens and a new earth, because he's reflecting the fact that the heavens, plural, the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven are all new. They've all been remade. He said that they dissolve. The heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements melt with a fervent heat. Now, that to me talks about the first and the second heaven of the material realm. the material universe and the elements melting with a fervent heat. You know, if you understand the principle of a nuclear bomb, it's a fission principle. When the atom is split, it gives off huge amounts of energy. That's why we have atomic energy plants, nuclear energy plants. They split the atom, and as the atom splits apart, it gives off huge amounts of energy. And even the subatomic particles, as they split, they give off energy as well. And so what appears to happen, remember we saw previously and talked previously about how the Bible says that God upholds all things by his word. And there's forces which scientists know about, but they don't fully understand, that hold the not only the atoms together, but also the subatomic particles together. We can understand why the electrons, with their negative charge, want to circle around the nucleus with the positive charge by the protons. But if anybody's ever taken a magnet and taken, you know, like a bar magnet where you can put the north end next to the north end of the other magnet, and they repel each other, don't they? And we understand the principle that like charges repel and unlike charges attract. You know, it takes a positive and a negative to come together. And it takes the north and the south pole on your bar magnet to come together. The north pole and the north pole repel each other. The south pole and the south pole repel each other. And always kind of a fun trick to put the magnet down and force it to hold together. When you let go, what happens? They fly apart, don't they? Well, the strong and the weak nuclear forces hold the particles, because what keeps the protons with their positive charges sitting right next to each other in the nucleus of the atom. And so that's where we've got these forces that they, well, it's the word of God that holds it together. And when God lets go, well, the heavens, the elements are going to dissolve, melt with a fervent heat. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that God's going to give us, that's going to be uncorrupted with the taint of sin. Sin has affected the material universe. Sin has affected the spiritual universe. When the devil rebelled against God, he was in the spiritual realm, in the third heaven. That's where he rebelled first, and then he was cast down to the earth, and he was in the material universe, the material realm, where, of course, then he tempted Eve in the Garden of Eden. Beguiled her, as the Bible says. He tricked her into eating the forbidden fruit. And then, of course, Adam willingly took the forbidden fruit and disobeyed God. Sin entered into the physical realm. And then by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, the Bible tells us. So now we have death in the physical world. And so we have the physical and the spiritual realms tainted with the stain of sin, which God is going to wipe away when the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And we're going to have a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, the Bible says. Well, so what does this have to do about life on other planets and maybe some kind of creatures that created in another galaxy far, far away going through their own salvation story? Well, guess what would happen to them? They would all be destroyed and melt away with a fervent heat at the same time, because this is the heavens and the elements. This is everything. This is all of the material world. This is all of the spiritual realm, all destroyed at the same time. So the unlikely thing would be that they would have to have something that all comes together at the same time as this, or perhaps it's just as simple as what the Bible says. God created the heaven and the earth, the heaven and the earth, because he had a desire to have beings populate the spiritual creation, the spiritual realm, the angels that could have fellowship with him and choose to have fellowship with him. And then he created beings to inhabit the physical realm, that's human beings, to have fellowship with him and to inhabit the physical realm. And of course, that's what the Bible suggests is going to happen after the new heaven and the new earth comes to the earth in Revelation chapter 21. We begin to see the description of the new Jerusalem, and we see the nations of the earth, the redeemed that make up the nations of the earth that walk in the light of the New Jerusalem. I don't have time to get into all the description of that in Revelation chapter 21. I encourage you to read that. And it says toward the end of the chapter there, verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. This is in the New Jerusalem. And they shall bring the glory and honor of nations into it. So this is the nations, I believe, will be the redeemed of mankind, the Old Testament saints, the millennial saints, the tribulation saints. These are the people who are going to make up the nations. And then, of course, the Bride of Christ, which is the New Testament church age, as we call it, the age of grace. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're going to be a part of the Bride of Christ, your primary residence in the New Jerusalem. But we're not confined to that. God is in the New Jerusalem, and we'll have the ability, I believe, through the New Jerusalem, to go into the spiritual realm where we can fellowship with God and the angels in the spiritual realm. And they'll come into the physical realm and they'll fellowship with us in the physical realm. And guess what this tells us then? We'll have a new universe, a new spiritual universe or realm that's not stained with sin, and a new physical universe or realm that's not stained with sin, that the redeemed of all the ages will have an eternity to explore and to visit and to learn about, and we'll have the fellowship one with another and with the holy angels for all eternity. We're not going to be sitting on a cloud, you know, strumming a harp, eating cream cheese on a bagel or something like that for all eternity. No. We're going to have an active time, a whole universe to discover, a whole universe to explore, not only the physical realm, but the spiritual realm, and the fellowship one with another, and the fellowship with the holy angels, and most of all, the fellowship with God himself. Because as it says there in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it, and the city had no need of the sun. This doesn't say there's no sun in the new heavens and the new earth. It just says the city, the new Jerusalem, doesn't need the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, you can have a reservation for that new Jerusalem. You can have a place in that new Jerusalem reserved in your name if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, you won't have a part in this. Instead, there's another thing that the Bible tells us that'll exist for all eternity, and this will be visible throughout eternity, even in the new heaven and the new earth, and this is the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 20 talks about the ones throughout eternity that have not put their faith in Christ, that have not followed God, those that have rejected him, they'll be in the lake of fire for all eternity. And Revelation chapter 14 talks about the lake of fire, where he says in verse 10, the same shall drink, or I'm sorry, verse number 11, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, or worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receive the mark of his name. He's talking about the lake of fire, and that particular passage talking about those that follow the Antichrist during the tribulation. But the lake of fire will stand as a stark testimony to the evil and the destructive nature of sin throughout all eternity. Somebody once asked, how do you know something won't happen again in another rebellion? We'll always have the lake of fire to point to and know the true cost of sin. The wages of sin is death, but Christ came and he died for you. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? I hope you have, and you'll have a home. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.